Well, welcome to Witness Wednesday. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Wood, with the LCMS Office of National Mission, here in the studio of the worldwide KFUO radio with Andy Bates.
Good morning.
Good morning, Andy. Do you know what time it is?
It's time for Witness Wednesday. I know that.
Yeah, it's time to witness.
It's time for listeners to call in with questions or comments, too.
That would be great.
1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727 is the toll-free number. Lassie@KFUO.org is the email address. I'm going to check the email.
Okay. Well, the topic today is time. Well, timing. Timing our witness. And we could actually look at that a couple different ways. If you're sort of a smart aleck, you'd say, my witness takes 28 minutes and 40 seconds. But what I mean by timing is what's the right time to witness?
I like how you totally used my joke.
Yeah, I did.
That was my time in my first 5K.
Your first 5K?
28 and 20 seconds.
I don't know if you were witnessing, but I bet you were praying.
I was out of breath when I was done.
All right. So, we're familiar with Ecclesiastes 3, where it says that for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. You know, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And it goes on, and we could probably add to that a time to witness and a time to, well, keep silence.
It was a great song, too, by the Birds, right?
Yeah, I don't think they had witness in their song either.
Probably not.
But it may seem strange to say, but part of being an effective witness of Jesus is being quiet sometimes. Waiting to witness, waiting to share the message of Jesus with someone. And that's what I'm talking about when I say, you know, timing your witness.
This is, I bet this has a lot to do with the first letter of Lassie.
The first letter of Lassie, yes.
Listen.
Listening. Yeah, because so often we get excited and we see, I want to tell somebody, I'm going to tell this person about Jesus, I want to tell this person, the answer to the problems that they're facing in life. I want to tell them, and you rush ahead before they're really ready to listen.
I'm a guy. I like to fix things.
Yeah, fixing things. So
being married has helped me with that, though.
Why, you have more broken things to fix?
I've learned through relationships and studying about relationships that sometimes I just need to listen rather than trying to solve or fix things.
Right. Listening and seeking to understand. You know, what is it this person...
I have to understand, too.
Well, that helps. What is it this person truly needs? Again, going back to, your joke about a guy wants to fix things. So I'm going to listen in order to check that box to get to the fixing.
Right.
No, you listen to understand what does this person really need. Do they need me to fix their problem or just need me to, give a hug and console and mourn with them or just be present for them? You don't know. And as witnesses, we know everybody needs Jesus. We know everybody needs faith in Jesus. But we don't know what their need is in the sense of what's the connecting point. Mm-hmm. So, we're listening, we're asking, we're seeking that connection point before we get to the sharing. So the timing of the witness fits the Lassie approach to witnessing because we want to sense what is the right time to speak. Now, we have like many things in the Christian faith, this wonderful paradox, okay? Because we have this passage from 1 Corinthians 7. This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as they have none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. Now that seems to see, wow, there's some urgency here.
Right, yes.
So now we've got this dilemma. I need to get on this, but I also need to be patient, right? So what does it say in James 5? Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruits of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. It's like, whoa, mixed message here. Get on it.
Hurry up and wait.
Hurry up. Yeah. Not so much hurry up and wait, but hurry up and be patient. there is a sense of urgency. We don't know the hour of Jesus' return. The people in our lives who don't know Jesus, we don't know how many more days of life they have in this world. Mm-hmm. You know, we know that life is fragile. Somebody can go off to work in the morning and not come back home, you know, die in an accident. We see people dying in terrorist attacks in the workplaces. Someone can have a heart attack at work. And, you know, just there's all sorts of things that happen. We can't count on there being a tomorrow. So there is that sense of urgency. And yet there's a call to be patient because time isn't in our hands. Time is in our God's hands.
This makes me think of one of the much earlier Witness Wednesdays when we talked about why witness. Going back to, the question of, is it about me or is it about what God does in the witness? Who's doing the work in the witness?
Right. Who's doing the work? And we're instruments. Mm-hmm. And God is the God of all creation, and that includes time. And his word and his will and his plan are going to work out. We don't have to rush it. And so we should have this constant tension in our lives as witness between having a sense of urgency about the work that God's given us to do, but at the same time go about it very patiently. Now, if we need an example of this, what does this look like? How do I do this? We only need to look to Jesus. And he said to his disciples, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. You know, there were people who were trying to push him into doing things that he said, no, now's not the time for it. He was confident mm-hmm. in the Father's will. He was confident in the Father's plan. Things were going to work out. I just need to be faithful to following what he would have me do in this circumstance.
Woman, my time has not yet come.
Right. So we have this, going back to the image that James paints for us, it should remind us our role in witnessing is to plant and to water, and God will cause the growth. So the farmer waits patiently. Well, he doesn't wait patiently to plant. Mm-hmm. He waits patiently after he's planted the seed for it to come to life. You know, there's a season. He knows the season. I mean, this is the season Ecclesiastes talks about, a time to plant and a time to pluck up. You know, our role is to plant and water. Mm-hmm. And so we go about that work, understanding the urgency of it. But we also, at the same time, we trust in the Lord's promise and his goodness, and we're patient.
So this sense of urgency that Jesus gives us, that God gives us about witness, is to keep us from being lackadaisical about it and not really caring, not seeing that it's important.
What, you think we would actually procrastinate and put off witnessing?
But at the same time, the sense of patience so that the timing is right, because we live in on this side of time. And, time is significant in people, in relationships, and even in matters of faith in this world.
Right. So this calls for wisdom, and it's the wisdom that comes from above. And so how do we go about this? Well, again, going back to Lassie, that helps a lot. It's to say, mm-hmm. We start by listening. You know, we listen to the people. We listen in that way that, you know, we listen with our hearts to God's timing. We look for the cues. We look for his leading as we listen and we ask questions of people and seeking that point of connection. When it all comes together, we will know it. It becomes clear. Now we're ready to share, and we know what to share. Something that speaks to that person's situation in life, to the challenges they're facing, mm-hmm. To the, you know, the emptiness that they're experiencing, whatever it happens to be that we discover by listening and asking and seeking. Now we can share. Now's the time to share.
How do you know that, though? How do you know when is the right time to share or to speak? How do you know it's the right time to listen? Well, it's always probably a good time to listen.
It's usually a good time to listen. You can default there. Here again, you know, this is not our work, but God's work, and we can. I think all of us can look back on experiences where we just knew, Mm-hmm. You know, like, this is where God has put me at this place in this time for this person. And it's all come together in a marvelous way. And we could not have planned it. We could not have orchestrated it. It just happened. And it's like, wow, you know, God's working through me in this incredible way. And it's all come together. And you know, it's really both a very edifying mm-hmm. experience and an overwhelming experience.
Is it safe to say that wherever you are, wherever geographically you are, wherever you are in your career, your life, your education, your relationships, that is where God would have you be for now? There is some purpose that we may not necessarily see, but that's where God would have you to be a witness.
Exactly. You know, that God has put us in the circumstances in our lives to be witnesses. Now, sometimes we're in a particular circumstance in our life and God is preparing us for a future witness.
Mm-hmm.
We're gaining some sort of experience or insight or knowledge that he's going to use later. And he knows how it all works together and we don't.
For example, he put you in close proximity to me, working with me for 3 years to prepare you for the difficult tasks you had ahead.
Well, I thought that was just to prepare me to deal with difficult people. But we usually see this in what I call our spiritual rearview mirror. We look to the past and say, wow, look how God was working mm-hmm. in my life. It's much more difficult to discern it in our present circumstances. And that's the funny thing about time.
Hmm.
You know, that the old saying is hindsight is 20/20. And I think that's true in our spiritual lives too. You know, in the midst of a struggle, in the midst of a situation where we don't particularly want to be, we question God. But when we look back on what God does through those times in our lives, we rejoice in it
mm-hmm.
and we praise God. So not just because we're through it, but because what he's done in us in those circumstances, how he's crafted and shaped us. So whatever we're going through right now, we know that this may be a time of preparation for a witness in the future. Whatever we're doing, wherever we're at, whatever time we're in, we can be confident that, you know, that time is under God's control and in his hands. That's what gives us the confidence to be patient.
That almost implies that God knows what he's doing.
Yeah, it sort of does. It isn't that comforting.
Indeed it is. And that, I think, is what, that is part of what empowers us to be a bold and faithful witness wherever we're given.
Right. So the word for today is, in timing your witness, you know, be urgent about the task that God has given you, because the day is short, but be patient and use the wisdom God crafts in you for being an effective witness with the people that he's put into your life.
There you go again, always presenting a pair of ducks.
Duxologies, paradoxes.
Paradox.
They kind of go together.
So. Yes, be urgent. There is a sense of urgency, but be patient as well.
And that's obviously easier said than done.